All right, folks, it's time for a fish tale. I know this is a lot of people's favorite part of fishing is listening to Leif talk about what's gone on. And Leif,
yeah,
there's gold in them thar hills.
There sure are, man. We went up there looking for it, prospecting, I guess you'd say, prospecting for one lake, and kind of gave up on that after a couple miles. And
let's tell the people we're talking about golden trout.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, tell me a little bit. What are golden trout? How are they different than other trout? How'd they get there? What's the deal with them?
That's a good set of questions right there. And, you know, I'd start with the golden trout is like an old version of the red band or the rainbow trout. And it's got the markings of, you know, it just couldn't make up its mind. So it's a D, all the above. I'll take cuts underneath my gills, you know, just golden color. Most of the spots are back on that peduncle. And it's got these just golden overall tones, and then these little white strips on the end of the vent and lower fins, just like, and on the dorsal, just like you'll see on a red band trout. So kind of red band, cutthroat, D, all of the above, and on high. Man, when they're underwater, they look purple, blue.
Yeah.
And when you pull them out, I think you said you've seen some, right?
They're amazing. Yeah, when I was a teenager, we would fish for them out at this lake in out of Spokane. And yeah, it was just such a trip to catch them. It wasn't because they were big or put on a different fight. They were just different. We'd never really had anywhere else we could catch them.
Yeah. Well, and you know, ours come from, I believe, somewhere out of the Kern River system in north central California. And that's where they're native. There's also a northern Mexican golden trout, or Oncorhynchus chrysogaster, the ghost trout, they call it. And then, after you get down south from there, they're even more ancient, to where they just, they don't even call them a golden trout, and they just name them Oncorhynchus presidio, Oncorhynchus mayo, you know, depending on the river that they're coming out of.
Oh, okay.
And all the way down there to about the tip of Baja California on the mainland is the lowest river there. I think it's Presidio or Mayo, I can't remember. But
okay.
Yeah, and so they get here because the WDFW receives them from basically like the Californian faction of that, and they don't get many eggs. And so here in Washington, the way they do it is they put them into lakes that don't have outfalls, usually above 5,000 feet, and they do you the favor of not telling you where they are. So, you know, it's kind of like that holy grail of backcountry fish around here.
They put them in a lake without outfalls to just keep them in place? Is that?
Yeah, it? Yeah, you know, because they are so closely related to, say, our red band trout from here in the Columbia, because like we've talked about in the past, they're closely related to the Californian red band, because the Sacramento used to run into the California, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And so they easily, you guys all know this, but they're closely related to cutthroat and red band, and so they can easily spawn with them.
Okay, so we got to take hats off to the guys who hiked these in.
Oh,
because,
man.
And that's really what we're at. Now, this is a fish tale, so you hiked in.
Yeah, so we hiked in, you know, and it's a long trek down a trail, and I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be able to tell you guys, because the person who told me about this and all these lakes always says, don't tell anybody until you're taking them. And maybe I'll be taking you sometime. But anyway, long ways in a trail, and then holy cow, a long ways up a, you know, some cliff face and treed slopes that are almost vertical, and until you finally just earn it enough to get there. And you know, they're averaging, I think, maybe two age groups in there, 6 to 8 inches and about 10 to 12. And man, we just had an incredible time fishing for those guys, and even took a tour above the lake to where there's an old mine and a couple cabins, and then there's a pass where you can see over the divide into the next lake. And
Wow, that sounds sweet.
Yeah.
You stay overnight?
Yeah, we did. And you know, I mean, just can't beat sleeping on rocks and dirt, you know? I mean, you gotta like that. I did take my tent, though, a nice 10 by 12 tarp. That's my standard thing, you know, because it also works as a poncho for you and your buddy in a pinch. So, yeah, I mean, we cooked up some good food, and my buddy Thomas and I, you know, he'd never got one before. He got his, you know, first, second, third, and maybe fourth golden trout, and I'd only got one before. So now I think I've caught a total of 13 or 14. And
all right.
Holy cow. I was just, you know, the first time, like I told you, I'd been to that lake, and my buddy and I had gone all the way up there, and had been destroyed by an avalanche.
I remember that story.
Yeah. Such a precarious little position. It's up there, tiny little lake in a tarn where a face literally let loose and blew the lake out of the lake, stacked the surface ice up like playing cards the size of cars on the other side of the lake, and stuffed the lake basin with this like horrible Italian ice cone looking thing made out of logs and rocks and snow and debris.
Weird.
Yeah, so it was a little depressing that time, and I still, needless to say, I probably chanted, "Please let there be fish, please let there be fish," I don't know, about 60 times on the way up there. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And there were.
Oh, it paid off. I was just looking, you know, for dimples. I pulled my way up over the last pitch there through the pack down and just watched, and it didn't take long, and oh, it was so relieving.
Also, I'm curious, what did you fish with?
Well, you know, I started right out hoping I could get them off the top, and we never did. You know, these fish, they are just, they like to just hold because they've evolved in streams. They can be highly volatile as far as like super hot in the day and super cold at night and pretty small, but then the fish can be relatively big for their stream, so they kind of need to hunker down and stay put, or they'll huddle under rocks all day and come out only during the time they want to feed, and only feed on what they want to feed on. And so there was...
What are they feeding naturally?
Well, up there, there's... because of the avalanche debris, you get this deposit of fine silt there, and they're feeding off of these little beetles, kind of like the water boatmen. And there were water boatmen beetles up there as well. There was a little bit of a tiny calabatus and some mosquitoes, of course, and the occasional horsefly falling in there after they bit my face and everything.
Yeah. Well, good. They were fueled up.
But they were well-fed. Yeah. You know, there was maybe a couple hundred of them in the little lake, and they just kind of glow blue, purple as they swim. And that's probably why they got to lay low.
So what did you end up putting under the water then?
Oh, so it came down to really the bug of the trip was the PT, the pheasant tail, and just in a size 14. And under an indicator, kind of like last year at sunrise when I went up there, I just put on a tiny indicator, that time with a prince nymph, but this time with a PT, and just kind of gave it a little drag every once in a while and really prayed for a wind to give me a little bit of a drift and that little boom, 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 boom wave that just kind of bobbed it just right because it looked like one of those little beetles. Kind of, they would do a little da-da-da-da-da, and then they'd lift up in the water, and then they'd go back down to the bottom, and it kind of looked like that if the wind would blow at about 3 miles an hour from one side to the other, and that's when we were starting to get them. And it would hide us from them because it's such a small lake.
Yeah.
You kind of need some surface cover. The only cover in the lake is that which is deposited off of the cliff above it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a pretty incredible thing, and, you know, you can see all the way out to Glacier Peak on one side and all the way out to, you know, Rainy Lake, the mountains above that on the other side by the pass, and it's great. It's cool. Amazing, and, you know, just, I say just be adventurous. Try to find those ones that are at your skill level. Be really careful when you head out there. Don't be risky, especially if you're leaving the trail, and always hike with a friend. Not only is it funner, but it's safer.
Yeah, good point. And I hope people do kind of take this as an encouragement to get up and fish some of the great mountain lakes we've got.
Because it's
some of the, first off, it's just a great getaway,
right?
A nice hike, a little vacation, exercise, and you might see some great fish.
That's right. I'll have some pictures up, and I'll have a full blog about the fish tale you heard today about striking gold in them thar hills. And hey, everybody take care of one another, and fish on!